Yeah, obvious, we got a problem here. And it's more than just Alvin streaming Punisher. When life begins to suck, who's reporting it? Luckily, got two friends who you won't forget. Coming live, Alvin and friend on survival. Laughing nonstop, case drops on a cycle. Louder than intrusive thoughts off an iPhone. How they make the world seem bright with the lights off? AFs, it might as well stay up. Lies being told like that dinosaur BS. Magnifying glass to the ground if they don't see us. Having the time, roasting your favorite pizza. Bougie ain't an option, it's the way. Take it to the grave, add moving to the place. You already know when they take the case. Laugh the pain away, it's affirmative.
Hello and Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. It's not just Black History Month. It's a happy Black History Month to everyone out there. I'm Alvin Williams, and welcome to Affirmative Murder, the Equal Opportunity True Crime Comedy Podcast. And by me, it's my, by, not by my side because it's virtual, but joining me, my co-host, you know what it is. It's Francel Evans.
Oh, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman. Can't you tell, man? Gonna post on.
What, sorry, man, I got flustered there. What's going on?
Yeah, man, what's going on? You good?
I don't know. I just haven't talked to you in a few days. I'm just excited to talk to you, so I got nervous. Yeah, I got the jitters. What's going on, bro?
Not much, man. Hey, look, I don't know if we was gonna bring this up on the show. What are your thoughts on Apple Vision Pro that's taking
I'm fully in the world by storm?
Do you think it's an overstimulation of just too much it being right in front of you? I mean, like, I want to get one. It costs like five stacks, but it's like
$3,700.
I want to get
one. They probably have levels, so it's probably
like
for
memory.
Base.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. It's full on Black Mirror post apocalyptic, horrible type of shit, and I don't care. I'm fully in.
Me too.
I thought
I actually thought you were gonna go the opposite way. I really thought you were coming like, no, it's terrible. I'm surprised.
It's both. I'm riding the fence. Pause. So it is terrible. We are going to fully be in the Matrix timeline, not having human interaction. We're going to be walking down the street in our own little worlds. Nobody's going to know how to have social skills anymore, and I don't care. I saw a dude he had a TV in his living room, a TV in his kitchen. He had Twitter up somewhere else. He was playing a game somewhere else, and he just is looking around.
Yeah.
The TV was as big as my TV, and I had to pay physical money for it.
Yeah.
And it takes some space in my house, and he had an 80-inch TV on his wall, and it's not really there. And it stays there.
Yeah.
It remembers where you put the little boxes, and when you come home, all the boxes are where you left them.
Yeah. Look, I saw a guy, maybe it's the same video, I don't know, but this guy was watching like 5 basketball games at one time. So I'm already sold, right? So then he like looked to the left. He got his text messages on the left. Then he got Twitter all the way on the right. I said, I could just sit on my couch and just do this on a Sunday.
The dude had Twitter like on the door of his house. So he had to get up and walk to it. Like you can put the boxes in places and be like, I do this in this room. It's not just like a little bit further away and visually. It's like the distance of the room you can put things. Like I said, he had a TV in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I'm done, I gotta go get a drink. I can go. I got a TV on the fridge.
Yeah. You don't gotta take them off. You can like see through it. Then like I saw today, there's a feature where you can change the eyes, the front of it.
Yes.
Oh man, I said, man.
So now you're fully going Avatar. You're going Fortnite skins in real life.
Yeah.
You know. So it's awful. We are going to be in full on Wall-E. We're going to be gelatinous people. Our bones are going to disintegrate. We're just going to be plugged into this machine. Bro, they have ones you could flip it, and then the vision, like if you're outside, you just press a button, it's like boom, you're on top of Mount Everest. The world, the way that it looks, is gone. There's nobody around you anymore. You're on top of a mountain. You're at a lake. But you're at Arby's.
Hey, man.
I said, no, this is a game changer.
I don't know, man. As an introvert, man, I think that sounds amazing to me.
It's like you are fully in your own world. Now, are you a bona fide lick? Absolutely. You're sitting there with these big dumb ski goggles on, pocket full of money, you know, because they know you got money. You bought the Apple goggles.
Yeah. Like the first release? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you sit on a bench in Central Park with five racks on your face. Man, somebody's going to steal off on your jaw if you don't live in the right neighborhood.
Yeah. Also, if you like.
So I probably would wait a few years before I'm like, I'm publicly Apple visioning.
I don't know if I would take it out. It would be something for my house.
That's what I'm saying, because you're so vulnerable.
That's insane, man. Not even about that. You'd be vulnerable. That's
You walk around with those rubber ski goggles on?
Yeah, you can't.
Just being like with your hands moving? Like,
that's ridiculous.
The thousandth time I've made this reference, but it, like in the Minority Report, you're just grabbing stuff, slide it over here,
yeah,
putting this in here, grab this, put it in your pocket, and people are like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
That's insane.
I'm fully in on that.
Not outside. You take them. You can keep them in the house. You don't need to take those outside.
Then you got the battery pack. You got a cord. You got a cord hanging down.
It looks ridiculous, man. You shouldn't take that.
The guy.
You shouldn't be getting out of a Cybertruck and having those on.
Now you're talking about big balling. The Cybertruck and the Apple Vision. Nah, you talking about it. That's like, you got all the VC. That's all crazy. No, but like I saw the guy Casey Neistat, who's a YouTuber. He made a really good point where he said. This is it. Like this is the moment in time where like the human species changes. Once these go from these big dumb ski goggles to like a pair of Ray-Bans.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
There's no more phone. There's no more.
You don't need a phone.
So many things. Like so many things are gone when you can just wake up, throw your glasses on.
You can turn them off.
Browsing the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're calling your family. So many devices are obsolete now.
Yeah.
You can take your glasses probably and be able to look at a cash register machine. You don't need so you're not going to need your wallet. You just look at it and it boom.
The only problem you would have is you wouldn't be able to FaceTime. Like you would need a phone. I don't think phones.
No, bro. They showed it on the thing. They had the FaceTime. They give you an avatar that looks just like you.
Okay.
And the guy was like, I took my FaceTime screen when I was FaceTiming with somebody, and because of how the room, how it maps out the room, I put the screen of the FaceTime call on the ceiling, and the friend that I was FaceTiming with was looking at the top of my head. So I'm looking forward, but yeah. I put their screen on the ceiling, so what they see is the top of my head.
Yeah.
I said, no, this is next level type stuff. So if I look up, now we're talking face to face.
Hey, what are you doing there? Somebody's looking at me.
Like, where do you have me? So, yeah, I put you up on the ceiling real quick, man. I got a lot of stuff going on. I got Twitter right
shit.
Here.
Arms going crazy. I got shit over here. God damn it. What's this? Scoop this out the way. Throw it. You throw it down.
I got a poker game going over here. Sorry, man. I just had to make some space for you.
I want one. I'm fully in. I mean, I definitely would love one to have in my house. Especially when, like, my wife is watching TV and I'm like, I don't want to watch that.
Hey,
lock in.
I'll talk to you later. Pew! It's straight up Black Mirror. It really is terrifying because it is straight up Black Mirror, and I don't care.
I don't care either. I really don't care.
I will be zombied out, like plugged into the Matrix. This is like the precipice of the future to me. Now I don't know if I like that future of us being anti-social zombies,
who
the Matrix, all these things.
I don't care. I don't need to talk to five people. I don't need to talk to a whole bunch of people. I don't care, man. I'll take my goggles and I'll just be chilling. I don't need to. I don't even have to take them off.
Is this the end of small talk? Oh no,
that's the insane part about not having to take them off. You could just. I can still see the room through the goggles.
You can hear music. They have speakers, so you can bump your music. It's next level shit, man. And I'm here for it. But hey, man, it's one thing I wanted to talk about before we go on break is
I was coming in here
ready to flame up Travis Kelce. Okay. But I have to rescind it and just flame up white men who want to have swag, I guess. I don't know who to direct this towards, but there was an article that came out that was calling that said that the America's newest crazy trend. I know you've heard of the Rachel, but the newest trend is the Travis Kelce haircut.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Which is a box fade with a beard shape up. Black people have been getting this. Black men have been getting this hairstyle. This is like the default black man hairstyle for generations. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce did not invent anything. This is not the Travis Kelce haircut. That is the most culturally appropriation thing. And I'm not even a guy that's like that. I think everybody can have dreads. I'm not that guy. Like, if you want to have locks, lock it up. I don't give a fuck. But to make an article saying that a fucking taper fade is the Travis Kelce is crazy. And I was ready to be like, Travis Kelce, I'm sick of all this shit. You, Taylor Swift, get off my TV. I'm over it. But he came out during the Super Bowl press conference this week, maybe a couple of days ago, and was like, I don't know why the media would set me up that way, especially on February 1st, like Black History Month just hit and y'all gonna throw me to the wolves like that. I did not invent this. I did not create it. It's just something I get. He could have taken the moment and been like, yeah, it's the Travis Kelce. Go get the Travis Kelce. Had to cut some kind of brand deal with Sports Clips or some goofy shit and made a bag off of it. But instead he was like, nah, man, that's crazy. I'm not gonna take credit for that because that's insane. Yeah. I didn't invent the fade. But it is going crazy. It's got the white boys like, that's the new, if you're a white, it's not even new. But again, if you know white boys who like black women, or if you know white boys that have black friends, this is the default white boy that likes black people haircut for years. Travis Kelce didn't invent anything.
Yeah,
some people just found out about it recently. Every white boy that I know that hangs out with black people has this haircut and has had it for years.
Yeah, I saw that. That didn't really pique my interest. So I didn't bother, you know.
Well, you can't just be giving out people's credit on Black History Month. You can't be just saying Travis Kelce invented.
Well, you wasn't having it. You was
cornrows, Post Malone invented cornrows.
Yeah, man, I get it. I'm not going to get into why I'm not really a big fan of Travis Kelce a little bit, but
okay,
whatever. It's just it doesn't matter. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about I think we may have talked about this on the phone, not sure, but the story
of Justin Mon.
And did you see the video? I remember I talked to you, you said you didn't see the video.
I didn't see the video. I tried, and then I was like, I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
let me take that back. I did not see the video of him when he brought the head into the frame. I did see the stuff that he talked about. That was the scarier thing to me, but you go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, so I saw on Twitter, and I was like, I got to see the video. I just have to. I can't read something like this, a headline, and go like, oh, that sounds interesting. It sounds crazy. And then kind of just kind of move on. I went like, I need to find this. So I do my little research I do on Twitter, and I saw that somebody had a clip of the video, and this guy had his dad's head in a plastic bag and was like, this is so-and-so. I was like, this dude is crazy.
Yeah.
Eyes are blank. You just can't. Oh, it's just no emotion when he's talking. It was insane, man. To do that and put it on YouTube. And I don't even know how long it was up on YouTube before it got flagged or somebody noticed.
Yeah, the scariest part of that video, obviously, I didn't see the part, but obviously, other than that moment, is that this dude sounds no different than anybody you heard on January 6th.
Yeah.
Any QAnon person. Like, he's not saying anything that we haven't heard before. It makes you go, oh, no, these people are legitimately cult freaks who are brainwashed, delusional, psychotic, and dangerous.
Dangerous, yep.
You know, so that was the scariest part to me. I would have been more happy if this guy was like, I am from the planet Fleetu, and, you know, I am the one true ruler of the galaxy. He was talking about politics, Joe Biden.
You can find a thousand of those videos.
Yeah, exactly. This looks like the Blaze or like, yeah, you know, Newsmax. Like you would hear these people talking to the MyPillow guy. I don't know, man. I want my headset. I want my Apple Vision. I don't want to be bothered with these people. I'm sick of debating these people. I'm sick of fighting with these people. I'm sick of having passion for these people. I don't care. I don't care who wins the next election. They're both old and like demented. I don't care. I used to care so much. But yeah, I don't really care to talk about the election. My point is I don't care. I'm going to plug into my Apple Vision and forget the world.
Yeah.
Same. That's my plan.
Same.
Yeah. But until then, until we are able to scrape up those shillings for two Apple Visions.
Yeah.
That's a bag and a half.
That's a bag and a half.
That's
a mortgage.
That's several.
That's a
that's a down payment on something nice. Yeah, that's several bags for sure. So until we're
able to. But I did hear that the Quest, they was like people saying that, well, the Quest has been doing this.
Nah. This is, man, I don't know. This is Nokia 8920, the brick phone, versus iPhone. Like, I could be wrong, but I've seen the Quest. I've plugged into those Oculuses. They seem pretty cool. They're not fully integrating a phone iOS and
TVs. And anti-Apple, where it's like, well, Apple just is promoting it better, promoting old software or old, you know, technology better than anybody else. That's what
I don't think this is. I don't think this is the Android Apple thing where they're like, our phones have been doing that since 2015. You know, every Android user tells you whenever you bring up something that Apple does now, they're like, we've been had that since 2015.
Well, yeah, how do you combat that though? You don't have an
but
Android.
But I'm saying I don't think that this is this. I don't think this is that because the Apple Vision has taken what those Oculuses and those things have done and taken it a step further. You know, like Prius was an electric car and then Tesla was like, that's cool. We're an electric car too, but better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not saying the Apple Vision is the never been done before. It's been done, but it hasn't been done like this. And
this, but you talk like a biased person though. You're biased.
For sure. I haven't even used the goddamn thing. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
But it's Apple products, though. Still, it doesn't matter if you've used the Vision or not, though.
Hey, man, you know what, fair. Then get an Oculus. You tell me. You go buy an Oculus, and maybe that'll be the... Just use an Oculus. Get ahead of me.
Yeah, I'm not doing
it. I'll save up, and I'm going to buy the Apple.
Me too.
You get an Oculus, you know?
I'm not doing it.
Hey, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around.
Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. Well, let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of my MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP, that's A, M as in Mother's Day, P, at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
All right, and we are back. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and put a disclaimer at the front of this story. Neither I, myself, or Fran are experts in gender identity, the trans experience, any of those things. But we came across a story that was absolutely mind-blowing. We wanted to discuss it, but we want to go about it as respectfully as possible because I admittedly have had some thoughts in life where I go, you know, listen, I respect all people, but I'm not going to be doing all that respect shit if you're a criminal or you're a bad person or anything like that. And it's like, this is a story we're telling. It dives into the world of transgender identity and, you know, gender dysphoria and these things. And it's like, no, you know, because you can't say fuck this person, so fuck the whole group of people. I want to try to be as respectful as possible to the experience, not this person specifically, but the experience. I just wanted to do a little disclaimer before we dive into it, Fran. This week we are doing the story of Harvey Marcelin, also known as Marceline Harvey. Thoughts, Fran?
This is a wild story, man. I mean,
for sure.
Like you said in the disclaimer, the picture you sent me was wild, man. I was like, what now? Who is this person? And like, what's going on? Do you research? And it's like, this was a person who was addicted to just murdering people,
murdering women specifically. Very dangerous person, very sick person. And, you know, I think the system failed in a lot of ways with this person. We'll get into it. Marceline Harvey was born in Manhattan, New York in 1938 to a single mother. Even at a young age, it was clear that Marceline struggled with their identity, as partially made evident by the fact that Marceline Harvey was born Harvey Marceline, a tall, skinny young man with a slight frame and a soft-spoken demeanor, as well as being aggressive and violent to anyone who brought attention to his soft voice or questioned his masculinity, women in particular. So Marceline wasn't always the child of a single mom. Their father passed at the age of 10, leaving their mother to carry the heavy weight of parenthood alone. And according to Marceline, this is when their mother sent Marceline to a daycare run by a Catholic church. And you know how we, you know, listen, hey, you know what? Shout out to the Catholic Church. I'm not even gonna get into it. I'm not doing it. Not today. I'm not doing it again today. You know, Catholic Church is the Catholic Church. If you go, that's your business. See, This is where Marceline alleges that they were regularly forced to eat rotten food by the nuns and subjected them to physical beatings and sexual assaults. This alleged trauma at a young age can definitely have irreversible and detrimental impact on a person's psyche. So at the age of 14, Harvey attempted to rape an 8-year-old girl and subsequently received counseling from another Catholic organization.
Oh, okay.
Ironically enough. So, you know, the people that stepped in to give him counseling after committing an atrocity, I don't know what to call it, but after this incident, mm-hmm. Another Catholic organization stepped in to kind of give him some guidance, and, yeah. you know, that didn't go over the best.
Yeah. Catholic Charities USA.
Yes. So a psychiatric evaluation from around this time, which would be about 1952, noted Harvey's truancy, theft, homosexual and heterosexual activity, and cross-dressing.
So hey, again, did you know there's a difference between a nun and a sister? I didn't know that.
I didn't know. What's the difference? Because in Sister Act, starring Whoopi Goldberg, they're all nuns, and they call each other sister. Like, that's how they address a nun, is sister.
Sisters are more active in the world, engaging in many different kinds of work, most often for people who are in great need. So,
also nuns, like, sisters can go home.
Sisters can leave. They can go home. They can go out and, you know.
Yeah, nuns like live in a nunnery.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Nunnery.
Is that maybe there's another technical term for it, but they all live together like in a convent.
Yeah,
In my mind, and then you're saying a sister is like, all right, 5 o'clock. I'm clocking out.
Right. Yeah.
Got it. But it's still up to them to be faithful to that life outside of that, because you can't get any.
Yeah.
You can't do any of that. And if you get to go home, it's still on you to, like, hold up that agreement with God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's harder. People might want to go out for a drink, all these things. And it's like, if you don't have to stay at the church or the convent, it's on you to, you know, trust, you know, to not follow through with those things.
Yeah. And I think nun is more of the, I think nun is more of the broad term, which means, like, you know,
in the church.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Got it. Well, I mean, you know, everything I know about nuns is based on Sister Act, Sister Act 2.
Same. Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an expert on nuns.
You seem like you, I mean, you talk about it with confidence. Like you call it a nunnery, never heard of that. So, like,
yeah. Hey, man, listen. Never heard of. It's more like none your business.
Nice.
I don't have the drums.
That was whack. Shout out to...
What do you have?
Shout out to...
Cool.
What do I have? Shout out
to who? The battle of the sound effects begins.
Should be my job now, sir. But yeah, shout out to Whoop. Shout out to Lauryn Hill. She was in that movie, right?
Yeah, shout out to her. She start coming to your concerts on time. Anyway, it's Black History Month. Stop taking black people's time. They come to support you. Stop showing up late and then being mad at them.
She can do what you want. Do what you want.
I have my thoughts on Lauryn Hill that I'm not going to get into on this podcast. This is not a music podcast.
This is Black History Month. You going to bash black people? Wow.
I would never. Lauryn Hill made one of the most classic albums of all time.
Wow. Wait till I get my sales right, man.
Then
she didn't
do anything after that.
Wow.
Anyway.
Disgrace, man. Terrible.
And a lot of people worked on that album. That
appreciate your people, man.
Made it a great album that weren't just Lauryn Hill. And she didn't do anything after that. So anyway, aside from the violent and dangerous nature from such a young age,
mm-hmm.
Today I feel like a psychologist would take away from their evaluation of Harvey Marceline and say that it showed characteristics of gender dysphoria accompanied by some antisocial personality disorder. So in today's world, I think that at a younger age, there are more tools available to somebody like Harvey Marceline to help them understand the things that they were going through at the time.
Today, in today's time.
In today's society. Gotcha. But in 1952, it's like, I don't know, you're a fruitcake. Get out of here. You know, like, it's just, you know, in that day. And then also being physically abused by the Catholic Church and, you know, traumatized and all these things. It was a dangerous cocktail for somebody who already was going through a lot of mental things and anguish by themselves.
Yeah.
10 years later, in 1963, Marceline was 25 years old and dating a woman named Jacqueline Bonds. Harvey often drank, took cocaine regularly, and also was violent and abusive to Miss Bonds, and was in and out of psychiatric care. Mm-hmm. So I got to say, shout out to them trying to be proactive in their mental health, but it wasn't really working. And again, I don't think they were really equipped at the time to deal with the things that Harvey Marcellin was going through.
Yeah. At least not to what the level it is now.
Another psych eval in adulthood diagnosed Harvey as having delusional grandiosity and that he showed signs of being a paranoid schizophrenic. This takes things to a whole nother level once you accompany everything else that Marcellin Harvey's going through. Now you add in schizophrenia, and that is just too much for any one person even to be expected to deal with, to be honest. Not saying that's an excuse for the things that they did or that they will go on to do, but I'm just saying this doesn't sound like a fun road at all, by any means. So, on April 18th, 1963... Jacqueline was due in court to testify in a trial for a rape charge against Harvey. I also read some accounts that said that she was the alleged victim in the trial. So this is a little.
It was a rape trial, right?
It was a rape trial, but it's foggy. I've read two accounts where it said that she was there to be an alibi for Harvey.
Right. That's what I saw.
But I also saw one that said it was her case. Like, she was the victim of the rape and was showing up to court to testify against him as a rape victim.
Yeah.
I heard both, so I don't know which one is the official story, but either way, it doesn't really matter. She would not have the opportunity to show up because shortly before the trial, Harvey showed up to Jacqueline's Manhattan apartment armed with a gun and opened fire. Harvey chased her around the apartment, shooting her three times, and Jacqueline eventually died in the living room. Harvey was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. So that's the affirmative murder of Marcellin Harvey. Justice was served, obviously, life in prison for the murder of a woman. And said, oh, never mind. That's not at all what happened. So during the two decades behind bars, Marcellin repeatedly appealed their conviction in state and federal courts and tried to persuade the parole board to commute their sentence so that they could be released.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somehow, Harvey convinced the parole board that they had changed, despite some evidence to the contrary, like the fact that they had continued aggression towards women and that they were being inappropriate in sending letters to the candy striper nurses that were working in the prison. They were sending them obscene notes to them, like sexual notes. So just the violence towards women, the inappropriateness towards women was still there. And yet Marcellin Harvey convinced a parole board like, hey, I've been reformed. I'm not that person anymore. I think if you gave me another chance, I would, you know, be able to start my life over and, you know, begin anew.
Maybe they saw themselves in Mr. Marcellin Harvey. It was like, you know what? I think he's not a menace to society anymore. Give him another chance. I think that's what happened.
Negro, please.
So the board freed Harvey and they returned to New York in 1984 in the early mornings of All Hallows Eve. So... Oh, you're throwing me off. So the board freed Harvey and they returned to New York in 1984. In the early morning of All Hallows Eve in 1985, Roberto Romano was in the lobby of a long-term stay hotel in Harlem where he lived when he saw a tall, lanky fellow resident pass by him pushing a shopping cart with a garbage bag in it.
Yeah.
When the resident walked past Romano, the bag ripped as the tenant was going down the steps of the, you know, like the lobby.
Yeah.
The bag ripped, and according to Mr. Romano, blood came out of the bag, which he made a note of, but nobody stopped the resident or anything like that. Hours later, a man walking on Manhattan's Upper West Side saw a dark plastic bag at the entrance to Central Park, dripping in blood. He tore it open, which is crazy. That's the last thing I would be doing if I saw a bag that was dripping in blood. It's like, I'm gonna open it up more.
Open it?
Yeah.
DNA all over the place?
Oh my God. That's not even where my head went. My head just goes, ew. Like, I'm not touching. It's covered in blood. I don't want to get blood on me. Yeah. Let alone like, oh, I touched the bag. Now I did it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But also this is the 1980s. So DNA technology, you know, like didn't really come into play until like the early 90s, you know, where you could be concerned about them finding DNA evidence on the bag.
Yeah.
So, you know, but today, for sure, I'm not touching anything. You know, whenever I hear stories about people when I watch like confession videos or, you know, interrogation videos and people go, you know, your fingerprints are on the gun. It's like, well, I found the body and I picked the gun up just to get the gun away from them because I didn't want the gun to be near them while they were hurt. It's like, that just doesn't sound real. I would never.
That sounds insane. Yeah.
If I came home and my loved one had a knife in them, I'm not pulling the knife out. Not because I don't want to get blamed for it, but I'm not a medical expert. But also in the back of my mind, I'm probably going to be subconsciously like, I don't want to get my fingerprints on this knife. Because that looks crazy. They're like, you grabbed the knife and pulled it out of them?
I don't think I'm thinking about that with my significant other. I don't know.
No, I'm not saying actively thinking. I'm just saying like, I don't want to touch it. And that could be, I don't want to touch it for medical reasons or whatever. But like one of those reasons probably floating around in my brain is like, I don't want it to look like I did something. I'm not saying actively.
But that's still you think. But you mean actively. You still.
I'm saying
it's
my subconscious.
That's bullshit, man. You just said you wouldn't. That's floating around your head where you go like, I'm not touching this knife because I don't want to go to jail. If my significant other's laying there dying with a knife in him, I'm pulling it out. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I'm not thinking about it.
But you shouldn't pull it out.
But I think that's just. I don't know.
you shouldn't pull it out. Not because you don't want to go to jail.
It's not the right thing.
Because you're not a doctor. So I'm not touching the knife. I'm not touching it at all.
You pull it out and put pressure on it.
Because I'm not qualified to. Yeah, put some pressure. I'm not saying don't do anything.
Yeah. That's what it's like.
I'm not
going
to get blamed.
You're like,
for this. No.
Well,
I'm
going
to help. I'm going to stop the bleed. I'm going to put pressure on the wound. But I'm not going to pull the knife out because I'm not a doctor. A doctor would tell you don't do that. But also, I'm not going to keep it. It doesn't matter.
Also, I don't want to go to jail.
Also,
I'm just stand here.
I don't want to look like it. I did this.
That's great.
That's like fifth on the list. I'm obviously the, you know, caring for the person.
My point is, it shouldn't be on the list. That's my point.
It's not on the list.
You should have a list.
Subconscious list. It's on the subconscious list. It's not even. I didn't write it. The brain just is thinking it. It's the brain is putting it on the list, not me.
No, that's crazy, man.
Hey, listen. You're not gonna try to frame me. Don't try to paint a narrative on me. How dare you? I will continue.
I'm just saying.
So like I said, this man who was walking in the park finds his bag, rips it open, and it revealed that it was a pair of bound legs in the bag. Mm. The victim was identified as Anna Laura Sierra in police records. They had a file on her, and she was identified as a heroin-addicted sex worker who frequented the long-term stay hotel in room 602, a room registered to Harvey Marcelin.
Yep.
Anna had been stabbed repeatedly, tied up with a rope, and then wrapped in plastic. According to Harvey, the pair got into an argument because Anna kept bringing Johns to their room to work, which Harvey found to be disrespectful. But also, and more egregiously, they claimed that Anna had sold their flute to buy drugs, and this was an act that sent Harvey over their edge. It's like, listen, you can...
My flute?!
Yeah, you can fuck people in my room. That's fine.
Don't touch
my flute. To sell my flute was a crime worse than murder, in my opinion. Should I be set free? I don't know. That's not up to me. That's up to the jury. But I'm just saying, you would just let someone sell your flute? This is egregious. Court records suggest that Anna was stabbed over 30 times before being dismembered. An accusation that Harvey disputes, claiming that a lot of that damage done to Anna's body came, you know, post-mortem from the elements, like animals such as rats. So those aren't stab wounds. Those are like bite marks and scratches from being outside because I dismembered her body and put her in a bag. Like, that's why she was in the elements in the first place. And those elements made it look worse than it was, than just me stabbing her a couple of times and dismembering her. It made it look worse. According to Harvey Marcelin, another disclaimer. According to Harvey Marcelin, Harvey is like the pimp. And then there's Marceline, who is the soft woman who is not able to stand up to Harvey. So Harvey is this man who hates women and wants to be a pimp.
He's the scary one.
He's the scary one. Now, they weren't diagnosed with any kind of, you know, borderline multiple personalities or anything like that, but the schizophrenia.
Yes.
So I don't think this is an instance where we can say that they are a person that has multiple personalities. I think this is just like the theatrics of Marceline Harvey, where she's like, this is the persona. Like, this is my alter ego. I don't think they're saying...
I don't know, but when you can go and kind of like describe two people as being a different individual, I think that's... How's that doesn't sound like...
I mean, this is a sick person, of course. Like, I mean, I'm not going to tell them what their experience is or anything like that, but it's the ramblings of an insane person, but... You know, I'm sure there might be some validity to saying that maybe this was a multiple personality scenario, but that's also a controversial diagnosis in the psychological world. There's people that don't believe that that's a thing at all. So, you know, that in and of itself is very controversial to even say somebody has multiple personalities.
People say that they don't believe that's a thing.
Yeah. Many people. That's a very controversial
topic in
like the psychological world. Like, there are a lot of people who go, no, this is not a thing. We've never seen a case of it. Anybody who says that it was a case of it is bullshit. There's other people who say, I saw a case of it. I saw it firsthand. I believe it. So it's not cut and dry. Like, this is not a confirmed.
So it's not real. It's not. You can't be. It doesn't have.
I'm not saying
diagnosis.
That. I'm just saying it's debated. It's a debated topic. Multiple personalities, all that kind of stuff. Split personalities, that all those things. So, Harvey once again was charged with first-degree murder, but struck a plea deal with the Manhattan District Attorney's Office for first-degree manslaughter and was sent back to prison in 1986. Over the next 35 years, Marceline Harvey was denied freedom at over 15 parole hearings. But in 2019... the now feeble and elderly-looking Harvey, and again, I sent you this picture, and it was in the articles. I mean, they look like a Muppet. Very bad wig, very old, very hunched over. Definitely didn't look dangerous. Looked very like a feeble person, but also and very much not well.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's now 2019, and Harvey Marceline is a feeble, old person, an elderly person, and I think that this may have worked in their advantage. Because the board now deemed Harvey to be at such a low risk of reoffending that they approved their release. Basically saying, you know.
Why, because he's 80 years old?
Huh?
Why, because he's 80 years old?
82. And also, I think it was just like, this person couldn't kill somebody if they wanted to. Which is a crazy logic to, like, give them freedom. Send them to a psych ward. Like, if you want to, like, lower their, send them to a minimum security prison. To be like, you're so old, even though you've killed two people. You couldn't do it again if you tried. You're look at how old and weak you are. So let's put you back out in the world.
What the fuck that's supposed to mean?
If somebody's asleep, like how about if you kill somebody who's addicted to drugs, which is what you do, that's what they did both times.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be very hard to kill somebody who's high on heroin. So it like what? You couldn't even do it if you tried. Look at you and your little, you don't even have any definition in your biceps. You go out in the world. Go out in the world and go live the rest of your old, weak life. And that's what, I guess that's what they thought would happen.
Yeah. Well, did he wear that wig all the time? Was that like a, what was that, was just an unkin wig?
I couldn't, I couldn't tell. I mean, I guess if they were in like PC, they let a lot of PC people live their life a little bit more fully.
What's PC?
Protective custody.
Oh,
so that's where you see a lot of LGBT people, you know, them wearing lipstick, tying their shirts, like living their life a little bit.
That's
more
real?
Safe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was real. I thought that was like in the longest.
No, you
yard.
Thought that was longest yard. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Tracy Bull got it.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, that's in protective custody. You might see a little bit more of letting people be their authentic selves because there's less risk.
I think that's cool. I like that. That's dope.
I think that's cool, too. I think, you know, you shouldn't have to hide who you are, but you do have to go to protective custody in a lot of... Unless you got hands. Like, if you're the gay dude on the block and you're like, I don't go to PC. I can fight. Yeah. And I wear these barrettes in my hair and I tie my shirt in a little belly shirt. And if you got a problem with me, what? That's harder to me.
Yeah.
I know mad gay dudes that can fight. So, if you run the block and you are not the PC block, like the Gen Pop block, and you're like an openly gay man with hands,
that's, you're the most dangerous person in it.
That's hard. That's hard. And in Oz, that was Adebisi. But let me take that back. So I don't know if people who've seen Oz, Adebisi wasn't gay. he was a rapist. So it wasn't like
the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's like he was dangerous and people were scared of him, but not like it's not like he was gay.
Yeah.
He just would like, I'll rape you.
Yeah.
So that's not the same thing. I don't know if I've ever seen any kind of TV show or anything of somebody be like, I'm gay. And also, I'll knock all of y'all out. So, you know, I'm gonna be in
the guy on the guy on Prison Break was. I can't remember his name.
There was a gay dude on Prison Break and he wasn't in PC?
No, he was like, tell people hold his pocket. I think he was gay.
See, I think that's another, that's a rapist. That's a prison rapist.
That's not the, that's
it's a, there's a distinction there.
Okay.
Obviously, right. Like.
I don't know.
Intent intent and consent are the differentiating factors. But I'm saying if you're using sex as a threat in any kind of way, that's not you just being
I don't
like,
think
I'm
that's
gay.
What he was doing. He was just saying, I will
this is my bitch.
You. Hold my pocket.
That means you're their bitch. That's not just like, oh, I have a boyfriend in here. Like we have a life together. And also, and if you have an issue with that, I'll fuck you up. I did see a movie. It was a black dude. It was a comedy movie. Was it a? It was. Yeah, right. It was a big fat black dude. And they would be in prison making dinners and having a nice life with each other.
Dinners.
And yeah. I can't remember what it was though. But it was a funny movie.
It was a comedy.
It was might have been Be Cool or with Vince Vaughn. I feel like it was. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're getting off topic. Let's get back on topic. So on August 7, 2019. Harvey left prison and reported to their parole officer. Mm-hmm. That December, a post on a Facebook page belonging to Marcellon Harvey had the caption that read, "Love personified." It was a picture of Susan Layden. Susan Layden was born in 1953 and spent most of her life in northern New Jersey. She was a divorcee and a mother of one and had ran her own jewelry business for years. Now, around a decade prior to meeting Harvey, Susan decided to relocate to NYC after her business had slowed down, and she was also looking to live closer to her friends post-divorce and be able to move around more easily with the public transit available in New York City. She was looking to make the most out of the second act of her life. You know, she's a little bit older, divorced, freshly divorced, and is like, you know what? I'm not going to just sit around and be sad. I'm going to fucking
get
a fresh start. Exactly. She first lived in Queens and later moved to Brooklyn, where she landed in a supportive housing community for seniors in Fort Greene. Now, how exactly Harvey and Susan crossed paths is unclear. But at the time of the Facebook post that I just had remarked about, Susan Harvey was seeking placement in city shelters. Harvey presented as a mild-spoken, very tall black man. According to Ann Brennan, who was the nurse practitioner who ran the shelter intake, Anne was hesitant to allow Harvey to enroll in a women's shelter. I believe she lost her job for this because this is in accordance with the rules of the shelters that you place people in the shelters of the gender that they identify as. But Anne was like, you were into prison for killing women. And I'm understanding that because Marcellon Harvey didn't become Marcellon Harvey until they were in their 80s. Up until the later portion of their life, they were Harvey Marcellon. They might have done some, you know, cross-dressing and things like that. But when she came out of prison Marcellon Harvey, a woman, you know, and identifying as a woman. Now, I also watched a documentary or like a news interview with somebody who went and spoke to Marcellon Harvey where they said Marcellon doesn't give a shit about any of that kind of stuff. Pronouns and that's not their concern. They said this. She seemed way more concerned with her tarot cards. So, you know, it's not even like if you had to try to nail down, like, what do you identify as? I don't think Marcellon Harvey really cares what you if you get it right or whatever. But I still felt like it was necessary to try to not be disrespectful while telling the story.
Right.
Like I said, Ann Brennan told Marcellon, like, listen, I understand that you identify as a woman, but based on your criminal background and your history, I don't think it's a good idea to place you in a shelter with women. Despite her objections, Ms. Brennan said that her supervisors allowed Harvey entry into the women's shelter because this was the policy. Now, Julia Savelle, a spokesperson for the city's Department of Social Services, defended this decision, stating that and this is, I agree with what they said here. She stated in this, she put a statement out that said, being homeless or transgender does not make you inherently violent and does not connect you to the crime that was committed.
Right. Also, didn't City get in trouble for this though? Like she lost her job, right?
Yeah, I think she lost. I think Anne lost her job. I believe she lost her job. Yes. If you are a homeless or transgender person, that does not make you a violent person.
Right.
And I think this is like the definition of situational. Like, I understand that's your policy, but this is a person, I understand that they identify as a woman, but, you know, violent towards women with substance abuse issues. There are a lot of women who are homeless with substance abuse issues looking for shelter. So at a shelter, it seems like it's ripe with the type of victims that a Marceline Harvey would have attacked in the times when they were being violent towards women. And that doesn't seem like a good idea. But again, this is their policy. But also, before we move forward, just as a matter of fact, trans people and people suffering from mental illness like Marceline Harvey was are statistically far more likely to be victims of crimes than to be perpetrators. You know, being trans, being mentally ill does not make you a violent person inherently. It does not make you a criminal inherently. As a matter of fact, people that deal with these types of issues and these type of complications in their life are far more likely to be victims of crimes than perpetrators of crimes.
Yeah.
So, though Harvey continued to post about Miss Layden on social media pages, Miss Layden's friends never knew of Harvey, and Miss Layden never discussed them. Susan was seen on surveillance video wheeling a bag into Marceline's apartment on February 27th, and then was never heard from again. On March 3rd, 2022, 2.5 years after Miss Harvey posted the first photo of Miss Layden on their Facebook page, the New York Police Department got a grisly 911 call. There was a shopping cart outside a pawn shop in a mostly industrial section of East New York. Inside a bag contained a woman's torso. It was Susan Layden.
Mm.
So bag, shopping cart. I mean, this is their MO. They fell right back into the same MO. Surveillance footage also showed Harvey outside a 99-cent store sitting on what looked like to be a human leg wrapped in plastic. That's so they were crazy. Walking around with this lady chopped up in a shopping cart and making stops and running errands.
In a motorized scooter.
Yep. When authorities executed a search warrant at Harvey's apartment, they found more body parts inside.
Of Miss Layden's.
Of Miss Layden's. Mm. Yeah, not of more people. Thank you for clearing that up, friend. They were, you know, leftover parts that they hadn't disposed of yet. They were taking their time. They were leaving, you know, putting an arm in this block, going a block up, doing the tour. So that was the plan, to slowly disperse her dismembered body around the neighborhood, separated.
Okay. Yeah.
Marceline Harvey was arrested and charged with second-degree murder, and she is currently in prison awaiting trial, but they have also pled not guilty to the charges surrounding the murder of Susan Layden. So whenever they have pled not guilty, and you know they will end up being found convicted and spend whatever is left of their life in prison, and hopefully they don't talk themselves out of it one last time. It seems very unlikely that they're in their 80s now. Like it seems like this is the last one, but it's unfortunate that they got the opportunity for the last one. So a lot of people look at this case in this instance as a big failing in a lot of ways of the criminal justice system and, you know, the over leniency and things like that. But I don't know. We got to give people a chance to reform. I guess that's the tough part of giving people chances. People will let you down sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you just not give the chances anymore? It's like, fool me once. They did that.
Yeah.
And you fool me twice. And they did that too. You know, so it's like, I mean, how many times are you going to let this lady fool you? So it's truly unfortunate, man. Rest in peace to Susan Layden. Rest in peace to Jacqueline Bonds. And rest in peace to Anna Sierra. Three women who crossed paths with somebody that had a lot of issues, untreated issues, a lot of anger in their heart, and a lot of unmanaged mental illness. And that's a very dangerous storm.
She shouldn't have been back on the street.
I agree. I agree. The idea that you look at somebody and you go, I don't think you're dangerous anymore because you're old, is foolish, honestly. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Like, if I felt like somebody wasn't dangerous anymore, but had killed two people, I would probably send them to a minimum security prison. But that's the most you're going to get out of me. Is like, I'll send I'll send you to a psych ward or something. Like, I'm not gonna.
It's not like he was like, you know, disabled.
Yeah, like, you just
couldn't
old.
Walk or something like that. He's old.
You know, it's not like it was.
You get the right opportunity in the right situation.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter how old you are.
And they did.
Yeah.
So really unfortunate, man. But yeah, that was
the
story.
Still alive?
Say again.
He's
sitting in prison right now. She's sitting in prison right now awaiting trial. She pled not guilty to the charges of killing.
She's like 100? Like 90 something?
No, like probably 80, 85, 86
years
old.
Okay, 2020. Okay, 2022. Dude.
Yeah, probably
okay.
86 years old and pled not guilty to the charges surrounding Susan Layden. So,
wow.
Probably not guilty based on mental, you know, incapacity or something like that. So I'm sure.
99 cent store.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Is that what they call it in New York? 99 cent store?
I think so. I've been really getting into etymology lately. I got hooked on the fact that, I don't know about you, but I feel like a lot of people in Baltimore, I don't know about older people, they call shoes tennis shoes. But tennis shoes are a specific kind of shoe. So it tells me that at some point there were like shoes and then there was a change in the type of shoe. Not like when the Jordan came out. Like there was some kind
New York
of shoe
they
that
say
came
sneakers.
Out.
Yeah.
They say sneakers. But like a tennis shoe is a shoe. There's tennis. Tennis is a sport.
Right.
So a tennis shoe is like... Right. What happened to where people started saying, oh, those are tennis shoes? Maybe there were dress shoes, and then sneakers were
sneakers.
Shoes that were, maybe the first popular sneaker was a tennis shoe. Like fucking Arnold Palmer or something like that, or that black guy that everybody, the tennis black guy. Damn, it's Black History Month. Why don't I know his name? Arthur Ashe. Maybe he had a shoe that was like a popular sneaker, and it was a tennis shoe. I'm like, why are we calling shoes tennis shoes? Like, oh, if you want to get them some new tennis shoes? We aren't playing tennis.
Right.
Yeah, but 99 cent store, we call a dollar store. It's not far off.
Dollar store.
Yeah. Well, you know, they like to save a little bit more. That little penny goes a long way. But yeah, that was the story of Harvey Marcellin or Marceline Harvey. You know, complicated story. Hey, man, listen, we gave a disclaimer. I'm sure we got a lot of things wrong, but I didn't want it to stop us from talking about a story that was very interesting and sad. And I don't know, you talk about, you have these kind of discussions to grow. So we have the discussion. Yeah, maybe we did it improperly, but we hopefully grow from stumbling through the conversation. So we know.
You got the story out there. I think the story needs to be told.
Yeah, I feel like people should know about this one if they don't. Like, this is an interesting one, and there's a lot of nuance here that, like you said, Fran, I think that you shouldn't be not allowed to have conversations, and this is one of those conversation starters about, you know, what are boundaries and laws and, you know, surrounding gender identity and where you place people. And it's a discussion. Like, all you can do is have a discussion. Like, that's
exactly
what the world is.
And I think it's okay, even if you don't know, if you're ignorant, I think it's still okay to talk about it. You know, obviously, you don't want to say anything if you're not that educated on it. If you don't know, then, you know, just avoid it altogether. But also, it's like, if I say something wrong or whatever, then you, hey, you know, come at me calm and respectable and respectful, and I'm always open-minded. I'm always open to learn new things. But when it goes south, that's when I go like, all right, now see, you're taking it too far.
Yeah, I think the issue
just because somebody don't know.
I think the issue comes when people speak in absolutes. So like, you don't know and I don't know a lot of things surrounding this issue. So I would never come out and go, this is how it should be. This is the right way. This is the wrong way, because I don't know. But a lot of times people come out and go, nope, this is wrong. This is the best thing to do. I know, because this is the right thing to do. And you just can't, that's not how conversations work.
Right.
You know, conversations are a give and take. You learn some, you give your opinion, you take somebody else's opinion. You guys, it's a committee of ideas. Like, you come to a common ground when you are able to speak freely. Right. And
you always have to agree. But coming to, like you said, common ground, obviously.
Exactly. So, I didn't want a lot of the complications around this story to stop us from talking about it. So I'm glad that we did it, and whatever comes from it, we welcome it, you know? But yeah, man, I got all this new tech. I don't want to get into it. We got this new tech. Before we get out of here, Love on the Spectrum, the new season is out, man. This is such It's such an endearing show. It is just.
Why does that sound so real?
Because that's how I feel about Love on the Spectrum. Man, I did all those. I did all the. Each having the yelling, the whooping, the clapping, those are all me.
That was nuts.
But it's just such a endearing show, man. I hope everybody checks it out. It's a fantastic show. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Donald Smith and Maya Erskine. Donald Glover, Jesus. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Donald Glover and Maya Erskine. I finished the season. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really good.
It's out?
It's out on Amazon Prime. It came out like a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Me and my girl, like, we just watched
it. It is okay.
It took the indie romantic comedy route as far as how they interact with each other, but then they go and do some spy shit. So it's really okay. And making them normal people. Obviously, Donald Glover wrote the show, created the show, and I know he did it on purpose. It's like instead of it being two like drop dead gorgeous people like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they're real people. And also the fact that Donald Glover is black. This is a lot of times. When people were mad that they talked about casting Idris Elba as James Bond, they were like, mm-hmm. A black spy would never be able to do a lot of the things that a James Bond could do because they stand out. And the brilliance of Donald Glover went, I'm gonna tackle that in my show. So it's like, no, you get it wrong. See, because he's black, he thinks differently than a James Bond would think or a white James Bond would think. So there
to not make yourself stand out.
Exactly. So there was a scene where they, and this isn't a spoiler because I'm not going to say anything about what happens, but like they go to like a rich, wealthy type of party that a James Bond would go to where everybody's wearing suits and shit. And Donald Glover's character was like, I'm going to go in through the back with the wait staff. Because if I go in that way, it's only like three black people here at this party. They all know each other because they're all like millionaires. They know... There are other black millionaires. Like, they all know each other. I'll stand out more being the black guy in the room full of rich people, so I'm going to go in with the catering.
Yeah.
Like, so instead of, like, people go, he would never be able to be in the room with all the millionaires. It's like, okay, well, in this show, the guy, he thinks of that, and he goes, you know what? You're right. I'm going to have to adapt on the fly. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to take another route. And he does that a couple times in the show where I go, yeah, see, black people can be spies. Like, it's just, you can't just be like, oh, the way that I've seen it, you wouldn't be able to do it the way I've seen it before, so you can't do it. It's like, no, we would have to do it a different way, and we would just adapt to the situation. So I thought Mr. and Mrs. Smith was great. Love on the Spectrum, another great show. It's a great time to be a television watcher, man.
Yeah. So you gonna bring up the show, or?
What show?
Your show. Got a new show you're working on?
Oh, before we get out of here, yeah, man. I started a podcast on our Patreon called Dead Wrong. I am going over the history of some of the worst TV deaths in television show history, whether they were egregious, heartbreaking, stupid, ruined the show, any of those type of things. The first episode I did is out now. It's about Pusey Washington from Orange is the New Black. I have a lot of... other deaths that just like pissed me off. A lot of them are from Game of Thrones. So I'm gonna have to control myself and not do a bunch of Game of Thrones episodes. But if there are any shows that killed off a character that you remember that you go, this is dumb, or I was so mad or angry, and you know, reach out, let me know. Yeah. Maybe you want me to cover it. But yeah, so Dead Wrong is available now on Patreon. The first episode, there are more episodes to come. Fran has got some stuff coming to you guys soon. He's working on it. We're in the lab. Yeah. 2024 is the year of Patreon. We are looking to get you guys content. We appreciate you guys riding with us and being supportive, and we want to give you guys what you deserve. And we plan. To be better, to be more attentive, and to be more creative in the year 2024. So, again, thank you guys so much for the support. We appreciate you guys more than you could ever know. And with that being said, I've been Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans. And we'll see you guys next week.
Deuces.